Today we are talking to director Adrian Wills about his documentary feature, A Quiet Girl. Adopted from Montreal, filmmaker Adrian Wills discovers on camera and in real time the startling truth of his complete beginnings in Newfoundland. Shocking details drive Adrian to the core of his birth mother's resilience, ultimately his own, inside of this documentary. In this moving feature documentary that combines both 16mm footage and contemporary images with deeply personal conversations of the people he meets along the ways, Adrian's voyage transforms from an urgent search for identity into a quest to give a quiet girl her voice at the very end. Congratulations onto the film. I
Thank you.
saw it this weekend, and what I was really intrigued by was both it's your own quest to find, your own personal truth and to find your birth mother, but also to recognize and give a voice to the foster system and how it's an important system as well too. So I guess that we can talk about first was what was the moment for you personally that you came to realize that you needed to make this documentary and that you were going to make it? And how did those close to you, including your foster family, react to the documentary that you were going to be making it?
I mean, so as you said, the film, what's interesting about the film is that I didn't actually know. I wanted to put the spectators completely in the feeling of what it's like not to know as somebody who's adopted. So less about foster families and more about adoption. But fundamentally, somebody who's adopted, who's lived in a family, whether that's been a good story or a complex, it's always got a complex and complicated kind of situation to it. And people who are adopted fundamentally feel there is a disassociation, or at least in my experience, there's a disassociation between kind of how you've grown up and kind of the idea of what could have been, I guess. And in my case, I was in Newfoundland with some friends, and we within 24 hours kind of went through this period of discovering some information, not a lot, but a little bit of information about my birth. And because I received these birth records that I was able to find at a warehouse in St. John's, when I was looking through the birth records, I realized that I had a whole other name. And I found myself looking for the name of my birth parents, and especially my birth mother, and realizing it wasn't there. And turning to the woman who had given them to me and saying, my birth, where do you have the names of the people who I'm from? And she said, I do. And I said, can you give them to me? And she said, I can't. And so that fundamentally kind of started this whole quest for me, where I went to see the National Film Board, because we did this film with the National Film Board. And I said, look, I don't know what the story is at all, and I don't know how this is going to play out. But I am a filmmaker. Like, I've made a lot of different films. Probably I've been a filmmaker for 20 years. I've made films where I've followed celebrities. Notably, I made a film with the Beatles, the remaining Beatles. I made a film with the Michael Jackson estate. I made a film with the Leonard Cohen estate. I made a film where I followed the head of Cirque du Soleil to Russia and Kazakhstan while he went to space, and filmed with the astronauts and cosmonaut community. I've been making films and TV for many, many years. And what I wanted to do was actually throw all of that, what I'd learned, away, and actually try to do something where fundamentally I would never know what was going to happen. So everything that you just see in this film, I'm discovering in real time, and so are you as a viewer. And what that does is it fundamentally puts people in the understanding of what it's like to go on a full-on quest where you know nothing about it. Could be your origin story, it could be anything, really. In my case, it was very, very emotionally relevant to me. So it makes for, I think, compelling viewing. I think, you mentioned the foster system. I think what's even more apparent, when this film was played in Newfoundland, and it played to sold out theaters, and it just played in Montreal, and again it was sold out. Fundamentally, people were coming to see it because they were either intrigued by the story, But they would realize, or what we realized is that there's so many different people that have a story like this. So there was an article written not just about this film, but written about the whole experience that's going on in Canada. And it said, 300,000 people in Canada are looking. In Newfoundland, there's 14,000 people that are looking. So my story, when I say coming back to this idea of when I went to see the NFB, I said, look, I'm going to go on radio and I'm going to just give a little bit of all the information that I have, which is scant information. What I had was a non-identifying background summary of my mother, of essentially the woman who gave me up, but with no name. So it was like a four-line thing saying that she was, 18, that she worked in laundry works, and that, what I found intriguing, it said, and she was a quiet girl who didn't express her feelings. And I thought, wow, this is doesn't feel like it's written by a bureaucrat. It feels like it's written by somebody who knows her. And so I read what I had on radio. I gave all the scant information that I had. And the moment we finished the radio show, and we did it with Voice of the Common Man in St. John's, which is a radio show that's been around since 1936. But I mean, of course, St. John's was only a province in 1949. So that gives you a real sense of how entrenched within the Newfoundland community that radio station is. As soon as we finished the radio show, the next person to come on was Prime Minister Trudeau saying that we were going under lockdown and COVID was starting. And so within 3 weeks, that radio show and that story had been shared like 20,000 times in Newfoundland. And that then I got contacted, and so then I started to make the film, where really, because I never knew what was going to happen, I just filled all the steps. And then the story that's being told in the film, A Quiet Girl, is definitely the experience of that whole journey.
So you talk a little bit, or you talk about making this film Inside General 2 using 16 millimeter footage. So I don't know if you were able to find it through the archive somehow, or you were recreating it, but let's talk a little bit about the process of the importance of the 16 millimeter footage to the film.
Sure, yeah, no problem. I mean, so what's interesting about that is, so I studied film at Concordia in Montreal in 97 to 2000. And so we were still shooting on film. When I learned to film, I was shooting with a Bolex myself. I was shooting on 16 and I used to cut on 16. I would cut on Steenbecks. I've made all these films about big, like I said, I made a film with the Beatles and Cirque du Soleil. I went through their archives. All of it was shot on film, Leonard Cohen, same thing. Everything shot on film. So film to me has always been very, very true to the experience of the past. And so, yeah, we used archives that we got from the National Film Board. I mean, there's not a lot of archives in this film, but what we did do is every trip that I would go to Newfoundland to discover more of the story, I would bring a Bolex, and my DPs and I, we would shoot the Bolex. The idea was that as I was learning about the story, I was trying to fundamentally give a viewpoint to what my birth mother would have had at the time, and sort of an emotional take on it. So I used the film as almost a poetic representation of what I thought, might be her take on the experience and on the landscape, because the landscape has a lot to do with this film as well. The landscape itself is a character. It's a character in terms of, why the choices Newfoundland people have made. Part of what happened in this whole story. And I'm not going to give the story away, because I literally kind of crafted it almost like a mystery. I'd also been a showrunner for true crime shows for Investigation Discovery. And so I definitely knew once, just the idea of things that interested me in terms of how to tell a story. And what I thought was the mystery in this, or I wouldn't say crime, but the definitely the experience that we were investigating was, what had happened and why. Why? Because, I mean, adoption is usually, unfortunately, it's been kind of mythologized as something that once the child is put into another family, that basically their life stops and that they don't get access to their past. I mean, now less so with open adoption, but definitely with closed adoption. And the idea is that everybody's supposed to think about it as kind of everybody made the right decision. The birth parents were, they couldn't take care of this child, and so they've made the right decision. The people who adopted the child have made the right decision about adopting, and the child themselves are just lucky to be in a situation that's a much better a situation, which is, an interesting narrative, and but a bit mythological in the sense that fundamentally, nothing is as clean as that, And what that doesn't take into consideration is actually all the emotional experiences that people go through when they go through a situation. There's a beautiful film that Werner Herzog does where he's talking about capital punishment. And the end of the film, the security guard that they talk to in the film looks at a grave kind of marking and says, when somebody's passed, they have their birth date, they have a dash, and they have their end date, and that dash is actually their life. And I would say that what we were looking at is kind of what are the dash in terms of how people who have been adopted, actually went through this experience, and also, the people who've given up or relinquished these children, what has it done to them, So these are things that we were kind of questioning. So one of the main questions that the film asks, and fundamentally not just to the viewer, but because I didn't use any voiceover, I found that voice, I mean, I used it maybe twice in the film. I found that voiceover, which is very, very endemic of a lot of National Film Board films, which I love, and which is kind of true of a lot of documentary. I found the problem with voiceover for me in this experience is that it was an antithetical to actually what I was trying to achieve, which was for you to actually go on an experience. So what I did is I used real conversations and I cut them as if they were voiceover. So, I mean, all those things are kind of part of the form of the film. So you speak to the 16 mil. I mean, we also filmed and refilmed slides, which were 35 mil, and we refilmed them using water to give this sense of kind of the fact that that life and the experience, or what I'm calling the dash, is constantly in flux.
So one of the important concepts to the film that you talk about throughout the film is the truth, or the search for truth inside of general, a concept you play with a lot with your film. When you indeed found it, not to give away the ending to the film, but when you found a concept of the truth, how did you come to accept it at the very end?
I mean, look, a film is one thing. It's an encapsulated experience. It's not actually the experience. The experience is all the moments that happened while you were making the film, and that what you're going through. So it's a distillation. And it's an argument. Most films are arguments, or there's something that they want to say. So is there one truth? Is there a truth? I think that if you look at this film, there's many truths, in this experience. I mean, one of the films that I found, that I was looking at, because when I did this film, I also did my master's, and I went and did my master's looking at the concept of the personal essay film. And so I went back and looked at all these films that had to do with adoption, and fundamentally the personal essay films. And some of the, one of the films that I had always found interesting was the NFB film that Sarah Polley did, Stories We Tell. And so the way that she looked at the multifaceted ideas of the truth based on what people were saying, and how that was kind of intersected with family history. In my case, I did it very differently, in the sense that Sarah's film is pretty cultivated. She has her father go into a recording booth and re-record what he had said. Like, there's a real sense. I actually There is no cultivation in my film. My film is actually literally what it feels like when you're going through an experience. So, there's a lot of different things that the viewer goes through by going through this film. So I don't think there is one truth. I think that there's the different truths, the truths of the people that I spoke with, The truth of the narrative of all these other people who are also looking, the truths that I was never able to and that I can't reveal because of the fact that time has passed, what I do think is that there is a sense of culmination. And so when you make a film, at the end, you've distilled it into something. It is now an entity. It's now something that's an experience. And so that, yes, there's a culmination of things that that film says, or and that I felt that were, that were part of the experience that I wanted to share. And you asking me how I feel about it, I mean, I feel very, I wrote this in my master's. I've said it many times in a Q&A. But it's really how I felt, which is that I fundamentally felt like, as an adopted person, that my whole life started at this wall. And it was this I couldn't see the end of the wall. I couldn't see where it started. I couldn't see, it was just where I started. It was square one. And from that moment, my life began. And making this film and what I was able to discover and all of the different questions and experiences that I went through, I fundamentally understood that actually I hadn't been looking at a wall, I'd been looking at a dam, and that dam burst, and actually behind that dam was all of this history and all of these experiences. And what it did is it gave me a place in the world that I didn't have before, which was not a place of isolation, but actually this place where I had this distended space that I could, that I could take over.
So, what are the most important things you learned about maybe your birth mother or the foster family system, while making this documentary?
Yeah, because I don't want to totally go into all the things I learned factually. I'll tell you emotionally, what I learned making this documentary, what blew me away, because not only did I want to understand about who I was, I wanted to understand, what it was like to be a Newfoundlander. I mean, Newfoundland is such an amazing space in Canada. If you haven't been, it's definitely a place to go. I mean, people, there's so many artists. I think St. John's has the most artists per square capita in either Canada or North America. You'd have to check Google on that one. But it's rife with people's stories, with musicians, with, writers. And they all have these really, like, they all have something really fundamental to say. Because the history of Newfoundland, I mean, like I said, it was one of the last, it was the last province. It's so shaped by the landscape as well, and by, the culture, and by the people. So I wanted to know what those people were like. And I was so fortunate to make this film with Annette Clark, who no longer is with the National Film Board, but who was the executive producer of the Quebec National, the Quebec Atlantic part of the National Film Board, and who was also the producer of my film. And my film was her last film before she retired. And Annette was such a blessing and such an amazing person to work with, and so part of the Newfoundland experience. And so she allowed me to meet people and to see people and to discover in a way that I would never have been able to discover on my own. That, coupled with the fact that I had this story that people wanted to help me with, what I learned is the immense generosity of the people that helped me along the way in this quest, and also just this. I think that that's one of the things that this film has that's pretty amazing. That not only do you have this story that's all about setups and payoffs that you never see coming, but you also have this luminosity that's coming from all of the people that are engaged in this film. And I think that that generosity, that luminosity, that experience was, is something that I'm so happy we were able to mark in a film, because it's something that I'm so happy we were able to capture.
So I will let our audience know that you can catch A Quiet Girl, the documentary, onto the National Film Board's website as of March 25th, I do believe it is out.
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing. I mean, I'm
Perfect.
talking about all this experience of making the film, and it would behoove me not to speak about the editing of the process, which I did with Heidi Haynes. And because we didn't know what this film was going to be at any time, every time we would do a trip, we would cut it together. And neither of us ever knew what the story would be. But at the end, it all kind of came together. And I think that this film also has that kind of organic sense to it. And I have so much respect for my editor, Heidi Haynes, but and Annette Clark, but also just the National Film Board for actually allowing this kind of journey to exist. Because I've worked in so many other ways in this industry, and this was the only way that I would make this film was if I did it only with the NFB and not with any other partners, because I wanted so much to not have anybody interfere with the audience's experience of learning something in real time.
Very well. So we normally like to end our interviews with a fun question. So, what film have you seen recently that you have to recommend to everyone inside of our audience that they must seek out?
Is it like it doesn't have to be a documentary?
New, old, documentary,
I
anything.
just watched Anatomy of a Fall, and I think that that is just a really sublime film. Like, I think the storytelling in that film is amazing. I think the way it's made is really, really beautifully, like it's really beautifully crafted. And I think the feeling that it leaves you with, and like if you think of the opening shot of that film and the closing shot of that film is a real, really, I would say close, like it's, it's a masterpiece. It's really a beautiful film. So I would recommend that film heartily.
Thank you so much for your time today, Adrian.
Cool. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.